are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. And sorry about the smoke out there. It's not really great for your health, but good luck. Poor Rachel, our producer today, is just having a heck of a time with her lungs. So you probably are too, and hopefully not too much more of this. So you know the rules of Positively Healthy. Gosh, you know the goal is for you to take tiny little steps towards health, and we try to bring you ideas, advice, things you can do to create a healthier person, a healthier world. And maybe you'll hear something on our show that you may want to implement or to support. And so also in 2012, Positively Healthy changed a little bit. And so we have four Saturdays of the month, we have four different Reading chiropractors with a lot of different points of view and a lot of different ways leading you to health and healing. And so today we have just an exciting show. We were talking with Lamone Waite from the Shasta College Horticulture Program and Michael Kling and Melissa Simpson, and those are both students, and I want to welcome everyone to the show today. Yeah. So welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So Lamone, let me start with you. You are the head of the horticulture program out there.
I am the full-time horticulture instructor that teaches in horticulture and in the ag sciences area under plant science.
Okay.
We have a department that we don't really have department heads,
oh,
but we're part of a department that okay. includes agriculture and natural resources as well.
Okay. And then your program within horticulture, you have a couple of degrees you offer kids, AAs, and then...
We have two AS degrees, one in transfer to, it's a horticulture transfer degree, that so students that are wanting to transfer to university can take that degree, and it gets them ready for that. And then we also have just a horticulture degree that gets students the skills they need to go into either landscaping or nursery type of a job.
Okay.
And then in our agricultural area, we have an ag science degree, a sustainable ag science degree, and a ag business degree.
Okay, I want to start right with the problem in agriculture that we're having in our nation. What is it?
Well, the number one, I don't know if it's the number one, but one of the very number one threats.
Number one to us.
Number one to us.
Okay.
We feel it's most important.
That's right.
Is the United States has identified that one of the biggest threats to our national security is that we do not have enough young people going into agriculture.
Bing, 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 bing.
And
yeah.
There's... not a lot of opportunities for a young person to get started unless they just happen to be really lucky and get born on a farm that, you know, they're going to inherit. But if there's anyone else that really wants to get started, land costs are very prohibitive. Just getting the education can be quite expensive now. As you know, educational costs are rising. So we're trying to do as much as we can to get young people involved in agriculture and within our community. We're a very large agricultural community here in Shasta County, and we want to make sure that we keep that. And
do all community colleges have ag and horticulture programs?
There's about 12 community colleges in California that have a comprehensive agricultural program, meaning that they have degrees in like agriculture, horticulture, natural resources, or some of those. And there's about 50, eight I think, that have one or the other. Like they might have a horticulture program, or they might have a small component of agriculture or something.
You know what? I can't remember how many community colleges there are in our state.
There's 100, and you're going to tax me.
Oh,
113,
no.
I think.
Oh,
but I'm not sure.
Okay, a lot. Okay, and so about 50-something have some type of ag or horticulture, and then only 12 have both?
Right, that would have a comprehensive program.
Like us.
That would have a farm and, you know, the whole... larger program.
Okay, so we're rare. So
yes,
we should be
we
attracting a lot of kids into this program.
We get quite a few students from out of our area. You
okay,
know, they come to
where
us
are you guys from? They can't. They're deciding who's going to speak first here. Okay, so Michael, where are you from?
I'm from Las Molinas.
Okay, so you're right here.
Yeah,
okay.
Relatively local.
Yeah, and Melissa, where are you from?
I'm local, too. I'm right from Gerber.
Gerber, okay. Well, that's great. And so do we pull people in from further away than that? Or?
Yes, we have students that come from Humboldt County, and we have some students that are coming from even further south in Santa Rosa, that kind of area. We've had students come all the way to us from Fresno or those areas, too. So from all over.
Okay. And then and the program you're saying is not impacted. You can still handle more students.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We need this program to grow. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And so you're listening to Positively Healthy, and we're talking to Lamone Waite and Michael Kling and Melissa Simpson. We'll be right back.
Kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at Lazy69Ranch.com.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Stadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Valia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are having a sale on barbecue bottles with propane. But come on by and fill them up. With everybody going to the lakes, stop by for race fuel and ethanol-free 93 for all the boats and motorcycles. We're starting to deliver kerosene into the mountains, so call in now and get on the schedule before winter gets here and the price goes up. We have bulk oil, and our containers are yours. Everything from bar oil for chainsaws to shake oil for fences, hydraulic, AWF, and motor oils, and lots of synthetics. So come on in and let us show you how we can save you some money. Northern Lights Energy, for home, farm, and ranch deliveries. We're in Weaverville, Corning, and Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
Well, I'm cooking up some ideas to straighten you out here on Sundays at KCNR 1460 AM from 10 AM to 12 noon.
Wait a minute. I can get that at home.
Well, you can, but it's more fun when everybody else is listening.
Why not listen and join in on the fun?
We entertain, inform, and just have a good old time.
Gosh, Rooney, am I in trouble?
You bet you are.
Be sure to listen Sundays from 10 to noon to Don and Judy here on 1460 AM KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State. Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR 1460.com.
slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show, Positively Healthy. And in the studio today, we have Lamone Waite of the Horticulture Department at Shasta College and two students, Michael Klang and Melissa Simpson. Welcome back, everybody.
Thanks.
Well, you're really here to promote Harvest Fest. And
yes.
Shasta College does this. Well, now this is the third year, right?
This will be our third year.
Okay. And I went last year, and it was spectacular. I mean, you got the tour around the whole college, you know, with the kids telling you what you're growing and what the programs are. And then it's the fabulous get-together party. So when is this thing? And tell us more about it.
So Harvest Fest, we actually came up with this idea a couple years ago. We wanted to celebrate 60 years of offering an agricultural degree of our graduates. So last year would have been our first year, 60 years of our first graduating class, you know, graduating. But we thought we'd better do a trial run because we were a little nervous about,
yeah.
You know, just kicking something out. So we thought we'd do that. So we started with sort of that in mind, and what we wanted to do is really showcase what we do with our students on our farm, because our Shasta College farm is the laboratory that we use for all of our ag and horticulture and natural resources classes, and so we want to be able to showcase that to the community. And so we did this trial of the Harvest Fest, and then it sort of has grown from there. And one of the things that we realized as we were doing this is that people were a lot of people were asking us, well, we're not really a big agricultural area. And we thought, you know, we need to showcase what our area does too. So we've involved most of the food that comes from, for this event comes from our local farmers.
Great.
And so, we try and, showcase them as well, and to showcase not only our farm and what our students are doing, but, you know, what's going on in our local area. So the Harvest Fest is October 6th.
Okay.
It starts at 5 o'clock. We kick off with farm tours of what's going on with our farm and what student projects are doing. We have our students out there talking about the different projects that they're involved with on the farm. And we tour people around in a horse and wagon, so it's kind of fun if you haven't done that. It's really very relaxing and just exciting to be able to go out with these beautiful teams of horses and get drawn around the farm. And then we will come back after that, and we have all sorts of local food that our cafeteria staff provide us, and they do a fabulous job. It is delicious food. It's really, they do a wonderful job of preparing it. And then we'll have local beer and wine, and local for us, since we sort of had to expand that a little bit. We don't have a lot of local beer producers, so we had to expand out to, you know, north of Sacramento.
Yeah.
But we'll have a band and live music and, you know, dancing and just a good time. And it's really a great time for us to get together with the community and show them what we're doing.
Oh, excellent. Well, so we're going to – how do they find you, or how do they get involved with getting a ticket if they want to go to this?
If they want a ticket, it's $25 beforehand. If they want to come at the door, it's $35. And they can call either 242-7560. And, you know, ask us to reserve them a ticket. You know, they can pay for it over the phone that way. Or they can go to brownpapertickets.com, and then it's events, and the number then for the event is 251167.
Okay.
And, or they can go to the main Shasta College webpage. It's on there, and if they click on the ad for it, on the front page and click more, there's a link to Brown Paper Tickets off of that.
Okay, so if they just needed to go right through the Shasta College website, they can find it.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Well, hey, I want to kind of learn from you guys over there what you want to study and how you got into it. Let's start with you, Michael. So we know you're from Los Molinos, okay, and how you want to be, what kind of career do you want to have?
Well, I'm looking into becoming like a farm advisor.
Okay, and what does that take? That sounds pretty hard.
In most cases, it's a four-year degree and followed up with like a master's.
Oh, okay. Degree. And so right now, what are you studying at Shasta College?
Right now, I'm doing the sustainable agriculture degree with like the emphasis on rangeland ecology.
And then where do you plan to transfer?
I'm kind of looking at University of Idaho right now.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And then, Melissa, we know you're from Gerber, and what are you studying at Shasta College?
Right now I'm studying sustainable agriculture at Shasta College with an emphasis on ag education.
Hmm.
So next year I'll transfer to Chico State and get my degree in ag education to become an ag teacher.
To become an ag teacher. And then are there a lot of openings for ag teachers, or do you know? Or
they're gradually opening up, yeah. There's several that are retiring, so there's more spaces that are opening up for new ag teachers.
And are you interested in, I guess, would that be at a high school level or a college level?
Right now it's for high school level.
High school. Excellent. Okay. I love it. Well, you know, Lamone, you were saying that a lot of times people think of our area as not exactly an ag area. So what's your answer to that?
You know, I was really surprised by that because I guess working in the field that I do, I'm aware of what's going on. But we produce billions of dollars in agriculture in this state, and you know, a good portion of it comes from Shasta County. And so I was just really surprised by the lack of knowledge of what goes on. Most people recognize that maybe we grew timber, which, you know, obviously we have a lot of timber, but
yeah.
We also produce a lot of cattle and calves, hay, we have wild rice, we have the headquarters of one of the largest live plant nursery in the world, Lassen Canyon Nursery, produces strawberry plants here in Shasta County, and then we also have honeybees and a lot of really specialty crops like lavender, wine grapes, all of those mint, a lot of various crops that we produce.
You know, I hadn't heard of Lassen
Canyon
until like 2 years ago. And so tell us more about who they are.
They're a plant nursery for strawberry plants, and they basically supply a lot of the strawberry plants for the people that grow them out in the field that actually grow strawberries for the actual market. So they are a plant nursery, and they grow, you know, the plants. It takes them close to 6 years to get the plant from, you know, where they tissue culture, you know, the plant, all the way to where they you're marketing it for the strawberry. So it's a long process, and they sell, I forget what they told me last time we were visiting there, but I think it was close to 500 million plants a year. It's a huge number.
So they're pretty much the world supplier?
No, they're one of the largest suppliers. There are other suppliers. Driscoll's, which is also in our area, they have a little bit of different structure of how they supply the plants, but they're a very large supplier of strawberry plants as well to growers that sell under their label. So they do a little bit differently than Lassen Canyon, but they also produce a lot of strawberry plants, and they grow them here in Shasta County as well.
Excellent. Now, the kids who come out of your program, are they mostly getting jobs? Is it easy to get a job if you're coming through an ag program?
Absolutely. There's a huge shortage of agricultural jobs for people to go into agricultural jobs, especially in the plant sciences and horticulture areas. But there are jobs available for students. Most jobs require in the agricultural area require a bachelor's degree,
mm-hmm.
So most of our students are kind of on a transfer track.
Yeah.
The exception of that is in horticulture, a lot of students, because there's not a lot of four-year programs in horticulture, a lot of the employers look at a two-year degree as they would a four-year degree in that area. But our main ag students, it's a bachelor's degree. Our degrees are set up to transfer to Chico so that students don't have to repeat courses once they do that. But we also have students that transfer to Cal Poly or the University of Idaho or other universities that Fresno State. So it depends on, you know, where they plan to go and kind of what their major is. But they can transfer to a lot of different universities from here.
How many kids are in the ag horticulture programs, if you were to kind of combine everything?
If we lump our department together, I think, and, you know, it varies kind of from year to year, so I'm just kind of giving you a ballpark number, but we have close to 500 students.
Okay.
If we lump all our programs together.
Yeah. And then, and because some are transferring, that's, what, about 250 per class or for, like, freshmen and sophomore? Or what are you...
It really kind of varies because what we end up have, we have students that are just taking a year certificate program. And so we might have students that are coming in and just getting some skills that advance them into a job. Like in our heavy equipment program, a lot of students come in to get skills and then they go out. So we have those group of students that are working primarily for that. And then we have students that are progressing to transfer. And so it's hard to say how that would be split. I would think we probably have more students that it would be, you know, kind of considered the freshman level.
Okay.
Then we do the second, you know, sophomore level.
I see. Now, the two students here are not planning on farming. They're planning on becoming either part of ag education or an advisor. What does that say?
It's hard to make a living as a farmer.
Okay. So let's talk about that because we have a couple minutes left. And what's your concern there? Or probably you've tried to solve that in your mind quite a bit. Like, how do we get this? You know, we're in a catch-22, aren't we? We need more people getting into ag, but they are having trouble making a living. And we have, you know, a lot of our successful ag our farmers are aging. And
right.
They need to sell their fabulous farm or ranch to someone, but there's really no one to sell it to, and it's worth millions of dollars, and who has that kind of money coming through? So what do we do with that? How do we solve that?
Well, and that's one of the things that I was at a presentation on sustainable agriculture over the summer, and one of the things that they were talking about was, you know, how do we solve this? And there are a bunch of programs that are offered through the state, actually, to support rural communities and to support young people entering in farming. And it may involve, you know, loans for them to be able to purchase agricultural land or pairing them with farmers, you know, that are aging and wanting someone to take over their operation. And they work with them to come up with ways that they can kind of do that. But the biggest challenge is that the farmer today makes less money than, you know, the farmers did right after the Great Depression. And we have the cheapest food source in the world. And I think that's one of the beauties of, you know, living in America. We do have a cheap food source and we're able to afford to feed ourselves. But on the flip side of that, the farmers really have to scramble to make a living. And a lot of times that means they have to work off the farm in order to support their farming activity. And farming's not an easy life either.
Now, what about just smaller, like when we look at how extensive that land is, I know we have just a couple minutes left here, but when we look at how expensive that land is, can we think more smaller farms, smaller independent farms? Does that create a more of a profit model versus you need to have 20,000 acres? I mean, I know what land used to be cheaper. Can we just kind of like shrink things a little bit? So,
well, there is some economy in scale. Obviously, if you can, you know, spread out your costs over a larger area, you know, it maybe is not as expensive, but we do have a lot of, in fact, in Shasta County, we have a lot of small farmers, you know, less, and we see this growing throughout California, and that people farming on, you know, 10 to 30 acres or so. And most of the time they're growing something that's kind of specialized, or they're hitting a specialized market. So they're either going into, you know, organic growing of a specialty type of product where they can demand a very high price for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, excuse me, they're not competing against the, you know, bigger producer, or they're growing something that's kind of unique, like lavender oil or something where they can get a very, they get, you know, for a small amount that they're producing, they get a very high return.
Or, that makes sense.
And we see a lot of farmers also doing things where they're actually doing sort of what we call value-added product, and that they're actually growing the crop, but then they're also doing something to process it to actually then cut out kind of the processor in the middle and then being able to sell that as an end product.
Certainly. Oh, right. That's wonderful. Well, you know, as we leave here, I want to thank Melissa and Michael for coming on, and I want you to, Lamone, just tell us one more time about Harvest Fest. I almost called it Market Fest. Harvest Fest.
Market Fest is fun, too. yes, our Harvest Fest is going to be happening on October 6th. It'll start at 5 o'clock, and it'll start with tours of our college farm and really showcasing what our students have been doing throughout the year in our farm laboratory. And then after that, we'll have food from local farmers and wine and beer and live band and just a good time.
Oh, excellent. Well, it should be exciting. And go ahead and tell us how to get tickets again.
So if you want to get tickets, you can do so by a couple of different means. Probably the easiest thing to do is go to the Shasta College website. On the front page, there's a link to the Harvest Fest. And if you click down at the bottom where it says more, you can go to the hyperlink that gives you the link to brown paper tickets and the event. Or you can also call our office number, which is 242-7560, and get tickets that way.
Great. Well, it was nice meeting all of you, and good luck with your event. It just sounds wonderful. I loved
Thank
it last year, and I don't get to go this year, but we'll be rooting for you. So
Thank
you're
you.
Listening to Positively Healthy. I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestone.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Alliance Heating and Air wants you to be cool and comfortable. We are committed to the highest level of quality and customer services and believe it should not cost you a dollar more for your peace of mind. Alliance Heating and Air offers the absolute best in installation, repair, and maintenance. We're here for your heating and air conditioning emergencies 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Find out more at homecomfort.org. That's homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. We look forward to serving you at just the right temperature.
You've heard me say this quite often. As dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for. There's a reason I keep telling you this. It's because it's true. Because as dealers, we do all pay the same price for these vehicles. So come to Crown Motors and you'll understand why I say the difference is what we sell them for. Come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Get in the zone!
Not changing your oil regularly can keep your car from getting maximum fuel economy, but doing it on time will help your engine stay cleaner so it runs more efficiently. Come into AutoZone now and get a 5-plus quart jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $21.99. See store for restrictions and details. Get the most mileage out of your vehicle with regular oil changes and great advice from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Oh, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. And well, we're making a little shift here, and we're going to talk about Prop 37. And in the studio, we have Elizabeth Betancourt, and we have Ryan Garcia. And welcome to the show today, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi. You know, I want to start with, boy, you guys worked really hard collecting signatures to get this whole GMO thing on the ballot. So how was that? Was that pretty exhausting? Or
actually, we had a pretty good volunteer base that went out and did it, and people were very responsive, so it was really good. We got about, I think, about 4,000 to 5,000 signatures in Shasta County, Tehama County, Lassen, the areas right here. So we got a pretty good turnout for it, so it was really nice.
And do you remember how many signatures we needed overall at this point? I can't remember.
Our goal was 800,000. And we only needed 500, but they were going to go for 8 just to do it. And we got
a little cushion. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got almost a million. We got 950,000 signatures.
Okay, so that many people in California think they would like to know if the food they're eating is genetically modified.
That's it. Just
okay.
Want to see a
they
label.
Just want to
it.
Know.
Just want to know.
Okay. And so what is a GMO? Who wants to kind of tackle that one? Because, you know, it's such a hard thing. And a lot of times the listener, we've been hitting this topic now for a couple of years, and it's like you get to genetically, and people are like, You know, it's like, it's just hard. So do we have a quick way to tell the listeners what's a GMO? Elizabeth, you want to tackle that one?
Sure, I can try that. It's often confused with hybridization, which is not genetically modified. Hybridization is where you cross plants naturally with pollen. Genetically modified is where you go into the actual genetic strand of the plant and insert something from some other source, from a virus, from another living thing, from a fish, from a different plant. So it actually is not something that would ever naturally occur in nature.
Okay, so then...
Well, the big example is they've made this corn that will not die when you spray Roundup on it. So it's resistant to Roundup. And they're also now making corn that actually, if the insects eat it, the insects die. So it's a pesticide. So they've taken traits from other species. You know, they say it's natural because there's other plants that if the insects eat it, they'll do it. And so we're just crossing two plants, but they've actually taken it. So that the problem that we have with it is that if you eat it, you know, you're eating something that kills bugs. And so our fear is that we don't know the long-term result of 30 years of eating corn that kills pesticides, you know, kills insects, what it will do to your body. So we just like to know what's in our food before we eat it.
Okay. And so consumer choice. Now, that just sounds like no one would be against that. Okay. Is there anyone who is against that?
Oh, yeah. The large agricultural companies, Monsanto, Cargill, Kellogg, all these companies that have a vested interest in the corn and the soy products that are most, the majority of the GMOs are corn, soy, canola oil, and the things that are used in mass production of your bulk foods. These people, they have a vested interest in it. All their farms are planted with GMO, and they want to keep it that way.
Okay. So then they probably, when it's time to label something, they would be the people who would have to say this contains GMOs. Okay. And so Proposition 37, I'm just going to kind of keep repeating that because that's what's coming at people.
Yes on 37.
And so you're very much about yes on 37. Okay. And so at this point, we're still, 9 weeks out, 10 weeks, I don't know really where we are until the election. Now, have you seen a lot of advertising yet in support of either way on 37? Do you see it yet? Because I don't really see it. In my world, I don't watch TV, so...
Yeah, I'm not watching TV, but I hear it's out. I know that I think their fundraising's been going on, and we've heard that the Yes on 37 people have raised about about $3.5 million. The No on 37 have raised about $35 million. So I have a feeling they're getting ready for a large media campaign ad. They've already started print stuff. They've already started internet. They started, what I'll call their grassroots in getting the word out. Of what the problem is, and I think it's sort of deceptive. They're saying it's going to be expensive. They say it's, they're fear-mongering that what we're asking for is going to upset the whole food system.
Now, 40 other countries are labeling GMOs.
I think
so
it's 50.
It's 50. Are we up to 50?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I actually take that. There's between 40 and 50 that don't allow it or label it, so there's a combination.
Okay, and so now have those countries just completely dissolved or... Fallen apart?
No. I mean, Kellogg and Nabisco and Nestle and all the people who sell products there sell non-GMO products there. I mean, they don't stop selling. They just meet the rules of Norway. They meet the rules of Sweden. They sell products there that are non-GMO.
Okay. So, and we've kind of learned that too. Like a lot of companies who sell to the U.S. and to Europe, they label them for Europe and they clearly haven't melted down. And so, okay. So we can probably just, use their label. It's made.
Well, and obviously they wouldn't be selling there if they weren't making a profit.
Right.
They're still making a profit.
Yes, exactly. So. Now, if you want to avoid GMOs, what do? You just eat organic, right? So I want to make that clear to people who are maybe freaking out at home. And so really still, if you can choose organic, and that is labeled, and you can steer around these things. And
certified organic.
Mm-hmm. And we know we have cotton, we have canola, we have corn, and we have soy. Those are our big crops with a little bit of some yellow crookneck squash maybe and some little zucchini papaya kind of thing
going?
Yeah,
a little bit of the papaya from Hawaii and then some of the crookneck squash also.
Okay, so then if we just go certified organic, we're good. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We have Brian Garcia of Gorilla Bites here in the studio, and we have Elizabeth Betancourt. And I thank you both for coming, and we're going to have a whole lot more questions for you when we get back. We'll be right back.
Kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Papa Bear, what are you making?
I'm building a rocket ship.
You're building a rocket ship?
Yeah. To get in touch with my inner bear, I've got to go to outer space.
Couldn't you just find your inner bear here on Earth?
Earth? Sugar Bear. I'm searching for something that no man has ever truly found before. So I got to go where no man has ever gone before. I've got to take that one big step for mankind and a Bigfoot chicken fried steak leap for the bear that growls in my soul.
Hate to break it to you, but that's your stomach, Bob, not your soul.
Yeah, I guess that could be true.
Come on, let's head over to Black Bear Diner and get a Bob's Big Bear Burger. It'll fill up your stomach and your mouth and stop all that noise you're making.
Ah, oh, Bruce, you sure know how to make a bear happy.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. And in the studio today, we have Brian Garcia, he's telling me, from Gorilla Bites. And welcome back. And we have Elizabeth Betancourt. So welcome back, you guys. Worked so hard here to get this whole GMO thing going. And, you know, this, we were talking during the break, this is going to be Proposition 37, and it's California's right to know. And I want to make sure that people who are listening are clear that no one is banning GMOs or biotech, and nothing crazy is going on. It's just letting the consumer, it's letting the consumer know, giving the consumer a choice that if they want to avoid genetically modified food, they can. And so it's just about the labeling. Okay. And so now, what does the law actually cover? Elizabeth, you were going to tell us kind of what is included in that law.
Sure. The law actually only covers processed food.
Okay.
Food that comes in a package that could have a sticker on it. It does not cover meat, and it does not cover restaurants.
Okay.
It only requires the label on food that you would buy in the grocery store. They look at it as ready to eat or immediately food that's ready for immediate consumption.
Okay, so if you're going to get like boxed rice pilaf or something,
mm-hmm.
it will say non-GMO or contains GMOs. It's just that simple?
That's right. That's right. And I believe, Brian, maybe you have more detail about this, but the sticker would be more about contains GMO.
Contains GMO.
Than non-GMO.
Okay. Now, there's some criticism that the law isn't inclusive enough. You know, people are kind of frustrated. Gosh, it doesn't cover meat. What if the animals have been eating a bunch of GMO soy? You know, and that maybe it's actually unfair. What do you think about that? Or is this like just a good start, kind of a law?
I think it's a good start law right now, because right now with the meat that you eat, you're not sure what it is. So there is no information now unless you're buying organic meat. So meat farmers, you know, meat cattlemen and all those guys can still feed them whatever they want. So if they want to feed them GMO soy, that's not labeled. So that is the consumer's still unknowing there. And the only way they're going to be able to know there is to do organic meat. So that's the one thing with the consumer. So it doesn't go all the way. This is a step.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for processed food. And, you know, people are saying, what about like a food that's imported? You know, if you're importing food from China or you're importing food from South America or something.
So it sounds like these guys are off the hook a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a similar thing. We're learning to gain trust. It's like getting when you get organic from Brazil, do you really know that it's organic? You're trusting. So this is a step to get forward, to start labeling, to do it. It won't be perfect, but it's a good step. And I think the manufacturers, like I say, they're already doing it in Europe. They're already doing it in other places. And I think as we start progressing along, we'll learn more. We'll refine it. We're not trying to perfect it today because that might stop commerce. I mean, if we try to do it. But this is just a step to label processed foods. And as a restaurant owner myself, some of the products we get, we're not sure what it is, so it'd be hard for us to label it. You know, at Gorilla Bites, we try to make sure everything's non-GMO. That's one of our beliefs to try to do. So, but other people are getting stuff from places they might not know, so it'd be hard for make them to label it. So this is processed food. They know where their suppliers are coming from. They know who grows their food, and it shouldn't be that hard.
Okay. And so, Elizabeth, what else can you tell us about Prop 37?
Let's see here. I know that there's some issues. The American Medical Association just reaffirmed that there's no scientific justification for special labeling of bioengineered foods. That's something that the Monsanto website actually has stated. And this is true, but it actually is taken out of context because the American Medical Association also has called for mandatory pre-market safety studies of GMOs. And so this labeling law would actually just give us more information while the industry works out the kinks, essentially. And it would allow for us to not be the experimental study that the world is looking at to see what GMOs do on a human population.
So what are people's biggest concerns about GMOs? I mean, one is that we don't know they're safe, so we are the human experiment, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a little nerve-wracking for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then what about, I mean, why do you think people aren't concerned?
I think it's because they don't know. I think, like you said earlier, Trudy, genetically modified, the genetic word sort of makes people turn off. But, I mean, if you look, check out our website, the CaliforniaRightToKnow.org.
Okay, you have a website. Okay, CaliforniaRightToKnow.org. Okay.
And you can get a lot of information on what is genetically modified and what are the studies out there.
And what kind of costs are those opposed to this? What are they quoting any amounts that they think it's going to cost? I mean, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me, but then that would be me. So I'm trying to when people worry about costs, I like to worry about costs too. So that's always like, oh gosh, you know, cost does matter. And so what kind of numbers are you hearing?
Well, the industry hasn't put anything out there of the cost that they would incur with this new law. I think that it could probably be compared with the nutrition label law that went into effect, 10 or 20 years ago? Companies change their labeling on an annual basis. You know, you go into the store, you look for the product you've always bought, and it looks different. It happens. That's what they do. And this would not be an additional cost for the industry.
And they have 18 months to label it. From once the law passes to implementation, there's an 18-month rollout allowing because the suppliers to run out of their old labels before they have to create new labels. So they don't have to throw any labels away. You know, they could
use them up,
learn how to do it, figure it out, design a new label, and have 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Or throw an additional sticker on.
Just peel and stick a sticker on.
Okay. Or change their product makeup.
Oh, hey! Oh, you're so wise. Okay, so then when California does something, California is, you know, a pretty big economy. And so when we make a shift, it just sort of has a little bit of a domino through a nation. Is that sort of the expectation? I mean, you know, it sounds kind of crazy if Nevada doesn't have this law and we have it. And what's the impact of that?
the impact is that they anticipate that as California goes, so shall the rest of the nation. There's about four or five other states. Oregon tried this a year or two ago. Vermont's in the middle of a process where the legislature passed a law to label, and Monsanto's starting to sue them, so they just sort of put it on the shelf until California gets through. There's a couple other states that are also involved. So the idea is right now is if California goes, the other states will probably jump on the bandwagon, the four or five that are in the midst of it, and restart their process, and then they figure that the rest of the nation will be right behind.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back and keep talking about Proposition 37 when we get back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy.
You move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi. I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
I'm here with Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. What's going on at Adamson's?
Hi, Rachel. Summer's here, and you know what that means. Swimsuits, shorts, tank tops. Now's the time to get started. Virtually every client that comes to Adamson's Peak Performance wants three things. Lose fat, look better, and feel healthier. We've developed a personal training and nutrition program that accomplishes just that.
Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
Yes, it's called the New Body 180 because it's 180 days long and because it includes everything you need to make a 180-degree change in the way you look and feel.
Well, I hear you've had some really great results with this program.
We've had women lose up to 3 jean sizes in just the first 12 weeks.
To get started or for more information on the New Body 180, call Steve at 221-8006 or go online to adamsonspeakperformance.com. Get the New Body 180. Turn your life around with Adamson's Peak Performance.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State. The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Hey, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're finishing up Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And in the studio today, we have Brian Garcia. Am I saying that right?
Garcia. Like
Garcia. Marcia. Okay, so from Gorilla Bites. I've been slaughtering his name for how many years now?
That's all right.
So I just, you know. And then we have Roxanne Betancourt and
Elizabeth.
Oh, my gosh. Hello. And Elizabeth. And these two have worked so hard to get this whole Prop 37 GMO thing up running and working volunteers and collecting signatures. And here you are. I mean, you've made it. It's on the ballot. And now you just have to get people to understand that it's not threatening. It's all about just, do you want to know? Do you want to know? Do you want to know? In fact, you were even saying, Elizabeth, that people from every political group, doesn't even matter, people are in support of this. So who's part of this?
Well, I know Pam Larry, the actual originator of this proposition, has presented to Tea Party groups all over the state of California. She's also presented to the Sierra Club. I think the Sierra Club was listed as a endorser of the proposition. It totally spans the gamut.
Yeah, you have like the NR, you know, people that are in the NRA to the people that are hippies from San Francisco and everybody in between, because it's just sort of a idea of a liberty right to know. People just want to know what it is, and it cuts across all boundaries and economic classes and everything.
I was going to say it's an American thing, but
really,
then, you know, if over 40 other countries think that it's important, I guess it's maybe just like any citizen probably feels that that's their right.
Well, you can probably even see it in the countries that support the right to know. I mean, you have all the EU countries that want to know, and then you have China, who has the right to know on their food. I mean, that they label their GMO food.
That's surprising. But then they don't have to really label it to come here. Like, that's we kind of left that out of ours.
Right.
Do you know if that's a norm? Like, is our labeling law a little more relaxed than other countries, or do we know? Or
I think in some areas it is and some it's not. I think, GMO and non-GMO is really important in Europe, but we've gotten more into the nutritional salt, fat, protein content. So our nutritional labels are a little bit more elaborate than some of the European countries.
Okay. And then, Elizabeth, I wanted to talk to you about, the idea. One of the opponents' groups said this is going to hurt our farmers. And I just, the guest we just had on, I mean, we are big supporters of farmers. I mean, we do everything to try to get this next generation of farmers up and sustainable and strong. Mm-hmm. And we know that our threat is that a lot of our farmers are, the average age is something like 67. Mm-hmm. And so what was your answer to that?
Well, part of what we were talking about during the break, a couple of us are saving seeds. My husband is a new farmer, and one of the most amazing things that we can do is save our own seeds. It saves so much money. It preserves a food that has adapted to our region, which is very hot and dry. So the seeds that are GMO actually do not produce viable seeds at the end of the crop season.
So you have to buy them every year?
You have to buy them every year. Farmers for thousands of years have saved seeds so they don't have to put that money into it the next year. Not only do they have to buy the seed every year, but they have to buy the pesticide from the exact same company that matches that GMO seed. It's a lot of money for inputs.
Sounds a little bit like a scam.
And it may help the small farmer because my belief is we label GMOs and the population gets educated, people will start buying things that do not contain GMOs. And at this time, the small farmers are the ones that are growing that stuff. Mm-hmm. The big agri are the ones that are using mostly the GMO seeds and stuff right now. And so it may slow them down. They'll have to replant and reseed those guys because as the product demand changes. And so I think we'll help the smaller farmers a little bit. So the farmers markets will pick up, the smaller farmers selling to organic companies will pick up, and you'll get an influx. And even as they said, we in America we've benefited from convenience, and that convenience has been lower prices, and maybe this will balance out a little bit, because some of the farmers need to make a little bit more money, and some of this the prices may go up a little bit just to balance out to help them make a better living.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I'm going to ask you independently. So, what are your biggest challenges or fears for Prop 37? Like, Elizabeth, what's yours?
The amount of money on the other side is really scary.
Okay.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
But what we're doing, what Brian and I are doing, and what all of our volunteers, what you're doing, Trudy, is so important, and that's spreading the word to people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
This message means a lot more if it comes from someone that you know their name, you know their background, you know their values, you can relate to them. And so what we're doing, what Brian and I are doing, is recruiting volunteers, doing tabling, reaching out at public events throughout the region, and trying to spread the message, from people in the region. We are not paid staff for this proposition.
Yeah, you are a volunteer. Now, how can people find you? Say they're listening and they're like, oh, my gosh, I want to join this group and help them.
Well, it's California Right to Know, which is carighttoknow.org.
Okay.
Is one website, or labelgmos.org is the original website that Pam Larry started.
Okay, and how do they find you guys if they're like, I want to go stand around and hand out brochures?
We meet every Friday at Gorilla Bites.
Okay.
Every other Friday. I'm there every Friday, so.
we meet every
other Friday at Gorilla Bites at 6 o'clock, and we just talk strategy and encourage each other and pass out new flyers. We get materials delivered to Gorilla Bites to pass out to community. We have some banners that we're going to be giving away and all kinds of stuff. So you go to GorillaBitesReading.com. For Facebook.
Okay.
And you can find us there, and we'll start putting the meetings on Facebook.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Well, we can be reached on our email address, too. We have a campaign email address for the region, which is labelgmosreading@gmail.com.
Oh, I bet that's going to be the one that people latch on to. Okay, labelgmosreading gmail.com.
And I check it every day.
Okay.
She
and
does.
I will get back to you.
Okay. And then do you just want to throw a phone number out for Gorilla Bites if someone's just
the phone
lost?
Number is 530-242-6656.
Okay. This is going to be a big deal. Like, I mean, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see what happens. I'm sure you are too. And keep up the hard work. And listeners, I hope you learned something here today. And we'll be back with Positively Healthy next week on KCNR 1460.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Husso. A state of emergency declared in Florida as Tropical Storm Isaac approaches.
That's standard protocol to make sure we can coordinate our efforts with federal, state, and local so we can have the proper response.
Governor Rick Scott, the storm could be a hurricane by the time it gets there.
One of the hazards that we worry about, not just the wind, not just the inland flooding and rains, but storm surge.
Rick Knapp with the National Hurricane Center, a hurricane warning issued for the Keys. Monday classes in Miami-Dade County are canceled. In addition to storm preparation, Florida is readying itself to host the Republican National Convention, which starts Monday in Tampa, before accepting his party's nomination for president. Mitt Romney is campaigning in Ohio.
The president's vision is one of a larger and larger government taking more and more and trying to provide more and more to you. It takes us on a road to Europe.
Romney and his running mate, Congressman Paul Ryan, at a rally near Columbus. With the convention just a couple of days away, President Obama is lobbying